The man crashes to the ground and then lies still, and birds fly to the sight of him. They land on him from head to toe. He doesn't move and won't move again of his own volition. In his arteries, though, are the beginnings of a journey. Hands slap each other clean in the distance, and the sound moves away. It took the man a long time to reach this moment. He had to fumble through decades of reality to reach this moment. Now, reality could not be his guide anymore. He had married young, had children. Where are they now? Raised them, founded a school, grew flowers inside his house and bred horses outside of it, nursed a successful home-based business, buried his wife, dug her up to tell her one last thing, and buried her again. And then, nothing was important anymore. So he decided to become an agitator, to disturb the peace. The birds are not at peace. The birds begin to equip themselves. They are making shadows on his bare torso with their wings. A rib juts out of his skin. A bluebird lands on the rib and perches there, as if overseeing the sight where the six other birds dance. They strut, lifting their skinny legs and talons high, posing for the sun that has at last shown its face in the valley. Much is afoot. Preparations need to be made in the man's caves and tunnels. Treasures need to be inserted in opportune places, in the extremities at the ends of tunnels, and in the secret organs as well. Fortunes need to be pinpointed. They cannot be recognized piecemeal. If the man knew that a sparrow was putting its beak inside the slit in his throat and regurgitating beetle larvae there, he might have been surprised, but not terrified. If the man knew that an egret was measuring the laceration on his broken leg, he would have been amused, but not forlorn. He always had a fondness for unruly birds when he agitated. In the public square of the city, where sorcerers frequently used to burn to death, not of their own volition, he would watch the flock swirl like aerial litter, homing in on crumbs. The man would pause from his agitation, take a sip of water from his canteen, and watch them overtake the people's fountain, skimming the water for insects. The water had a brown film on it, but lovers and children would still throw coins in the fountain under the watchful eye of the emperor's soldiers. People would pass by him and ignore him. He had a book that he read from, Of Clouds, which explained a complicated system for the deliverance of justice and bread, which he liked to distill in easy-to-remember exclamations. Even in those energetic days, it was hard for him to walk. At some point, he knew the body wouldn't function right ever again. Everything once done with ease would become heavy with pain, and small steps would be triumphs. And then, even those small steps would become dreams. In the meantime, he tried to convince people that the structure of reality that passerbys experienced was a carefully modulated illusion. The soldiers at that time considered him a meandering joke that hadn't quite reached its punchline. And maybe never would. In that, they were onto something. A few bears come down into the valley, stepping over all the other bodies to keep an eye on the site, at a safe distance. The birds could be testy in the middle of their site management, especially before their mid-morning tea. The bears have traveled quite a distance through ashen forests and dry riverbeds to reach this valley. They wish they were small enough like beetles to really get inside the man. The freshly hatched beetles, on the other hand, wish that they were as large as bears and could roam the countryside and really scare people. But they both realize, as if of mutual accord, that one doesn't always receive one's favored lot in life, and that in every loss there can be an opportunity.